Matt, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Very, very happy to have all of you with us tonight, and appreciate the thought and the planning and the foresight that you used in planning on being here. And it is greatly appreciated, and I want to express my appreciation to Matt for his thoughtfulness in picking out songs. You do not know this, but he tries to communicate with me ahead of time with regard to our sermon topics and what we're going to be talking about. And tonight's no exception. I hope you caught kind of a theme in the songs that Matt led, because they all have to do with the end of time and the hereafter. And I'm aware of the fact that there is within each one of us a desire to kind of reach up, as it were, to something better. We've always wanted something better, something even better than anything this life offers. And I can't think of a subject more appropriate than the one before us tonight from John chapter 14. And I regret very much, in one sense, that we have reserved this passage for funerals. It is very appropriate, and I have and will continue to use the 14th chapter of the book of John. But the context to me is overwhelming. They are within the shadow of the cross. And it goes without saying that these disciples did not always catch everything Jesus said, did they? I mean, they have been arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They still didn't get it when it came to the kingdom. And it's in this context that Jesus tells them that he's leaving. And they don't understand it. And guess what? I don't either sometimes. I think perhaps the older I have gotten, the less I like leaving. I traveled, as I mentioned this morning, I traveled all the way to Huntsville. Or strike that, Gunnersville, to spend Thanksgiving with my parents. They're in their 80s. And one of them said something to the effect of, "I hope we get to have another Thanksgiving next year." I don't really know if I like that. Well, guess what? The apostles didn't either. And I say again, they did not understand why he had to leave. And so consequently, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." There it is. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Right. And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." Now let's break it down and look at it very carefully. Jesus said, first of all, "I go." And I want you to be aware of the fact that Jesus came to this earth for a purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. But it's in this case that he says, "I'm leaving, I go for a purpose." And once again, these apostles just don't understand why that was so necessary. They still don't get the point. They still don't understand that if Jesus didn't leave, the Comforter would not come. The church would not be established. And I'm aware of the fact that, especially again, at times when we grieve, I said this at my beloved aunt's funeral not long ago. She was 99. And there is a sense we wish we still had her. But I would not take her away from where she is now to bring her back into this world. Now think in terms of Jesus. Why would anybody want to call Jesus back into the flesh? And once again, it was a total lack of their understanding. If you have your Bibles again and you've marked John 14, look with me at Acts chapter 1, and that's just one chapter, one book over. And I don't mean to be facetious when I say that Acts 1 comes before Acts 2. But we preachers, even as we did this morning, we looked at Acts 2 and the establishment of the church. But now back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is going to ascend back to the Father. But look at verse 6. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Again, they still don't get it. Look at verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, Bradley, what's your point? If Jesus had not left, that wouldn't have happened. The Holy Spirit could not have come, and they could not have gone into all the world and preached the gospel. Point being, he had to leave. Why? Number one, to prepare. I'm aware of the fact that some of these precious ladies in this church spent countless hours probably preparing a Thanksgiving meal. And you just didn't throw it together. But it took some thought. It took some planning. And I'm so glad that the church of my Lord, unlike what some teach in the religious world tonight, was not an afterthought. It's not something he thought up at the last minute. But it was prepared before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And now then Jesus says, I came for that purpose. I'm leaving for that purpose, to prepare a place for you. I say again, I have learned from experience that there is a great deal of confidence in preparation. I just know none of y'all as students went to take a test at school having never studied. That never happened to any of y'all, did it? No, it didn't. I know better, Matt. And yet at the same time, when you had studied and you were prepared, there was a great deal of confidence. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of confidence do you have tonight, in the 21st century in Chilton County, Alabama, that Jesus is going to prepare a place? And it's not like when you build a house and you do a walkthrough and you find a mistake here and a mistake there and fix this. No. We're talking about the Son of God who has left this same earth in order to prepare something. Well, what did he prepare? Well, the Bible tells us, I go and prepare a place. And the reason I bring that up is because it is specific. He didn't say some place. He said a place. And hear me tonight when I say the place to which Jesus has gone to prepare for us is just as real as the place in which you're sitting tonight. It's a real place. And the Apostle Paul describes it as best he can when he says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the imagination of man the good things that God has prepared for those who love him.
It would be interesting to me to spend some time tonight asking how many things in this life remind us of heaven. I just illustrated earlier the fact that the holidays to so many people are a time of homecoming. And I got invited to speak a while back at a homecoming service. And I got up and said, I want to talk to you about the greatest homecoming the world has ever known. And I hope you view heaven in that fashion. It's a homecoming in a city with no cemetery. Because it's a homecoming in a city that never grieves. It's a homecoming in a city where they don't need law enforcement. They don't need a court system. Because there's no sin, there's no sorrow. It's a city without burials. And that's the kind of place that Jesus has prepared. But then I'm so glad that in this passage, my Jesus, as we say in law, pleads with specificity. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Don't let that slip by. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I drove all the way to Gunnersville, Alabama, one way, Thursday morning, Thursday at noon, thereabout. My mama told me to be there at 1 o'clock. I was there, wasn't I, Matt? I got there at 1 o'clock. Guess what? Somebody forgot to make reservations. Mm-hmm. And they said it will be a 2.5-hour wait. Cracker Barrel. Why? Because we didn't have a reservation. And I'm so glad tonight that I can stand in front of a group of people who love God, who want to do what's right, who've said yes to Jesus, who said yes to the cross, and say that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And nobody can take your place. Here's the way the Apostle Peter put it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. In fact, he started really the thought in verse 3 when he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy. There's a whole nother sermon right there. Point being, it was His idea, it wasn't ours. According to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Watch it now. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, which will not fade away. Now you tell me, what else is there in this life that can be described as imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away? Dear brethren, everything in this life is perishable. Everything in this life is defiled. Everything about this life fades away. Man, I love the song we sing sometime, My God and I, because it says this earth will pass, and with it, common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly. And I'm so glad that nobody can jump ahead of you in line and take your reservation. Now, I'm aware of the fact that you, and I want you to listen carefully to me, you can allow other things in this life to cheat you out of it. You can choose to throw it away. But absolutely nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8. And this place to which Jesus has prepared is for you, and nobody can take it away. But if you don't occupy that place, it's nobody's fault but yours. If I don't occupy that place, it's nobody's fault but mine. I say again, I worked in a system for 26 years where it seemed like all people did was point the finger at somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else did this. Something else did. It's not my fault. Not my fault. On and on and on and on ad nauseum. But the reality is, if you miss heaven, it's nobody's fault but yours. If I miss heaven, it's nobody's fault but mine. Have you stopped to ever think about who's going to be in heaven? We've preached, we've talked before about heaven. Shall we know each other there? And Matt, we sing about it and we think about it and we glory in it. But my Bible tells me, I say again, Paul told the folks at Corinth that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the imagination. Whoa, stop right there. It's not within the realm of human capability to adequately describe heaven, except in this way. And this is what I want you to think about. This is what I want you to take with you the rest of the week and to glory in it. And that's it. And that is, who's going to be there? Who's going to be in heaven? Well, my Bible tells me when Jesus taught the disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, that God's going to be there. Isn't that right, Matt? Because he says, our Father, that's it. Our Father who art in heaven. And thus, God's going to be there. And if God's going to be there, then Jesus is, because we know in Acts chapter 1, he ascended back to the Father. And if God the Father's there and Christ God the Son is there, then obviously God the Holy Spirit is there. Who else is going to be there? Well, the Revelation says in Revelation 7 in verse 13 that those washed in his blood are going to be there. I don't know about you, but that thought, that concept is a dichotomy. Seemingly opposites, and that's nothing new, because the Bible teaches that life is really death, and that death is really life. And the very idea of being washed in blood, I've been on my own for over 20 years, and I learned a hard lesson about 2001 when I started washing my own clothes. Don't leave an ink pen in your pocket. Right, Steve? You don't do that, do you, buddy? And I was washing a load of clothes in ink. And I found out that just does not work. But now guess what? I'm so glad the Lord used this analogy, because the world doesn't understand it. Are you listening? The world can't comprehend it. And that is that we are washed in blood. Meaning, that blood encompasses all about us, and there's nothing it doesn't contact. There's nothing that doesn't feel its effect. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? That means there is nothing you have done that can't be washed in the blood. There is no sin of which we are willing to repent, that the Lord won't forgive. And so, who's going to be in heaven? God's going to be in heaven. His Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to be in heaven. Those who have been washed in the blood are going to be there. Not only that, but Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 19 that those who have laid up for themselves treasures in heaven are going to be there. Think about that. Laid up for themselves treasures in heaven. I heard a wise old preacher tell a story about a funeral that he was conducting, and he was leading the casket of a loved one up to the grave. The pallbearers were carrying it. Believe it or not, the pallbearers were carrying a casket, carrying the casket of their loved one. They were carrying on a conversation. And one of them said, I wonder how much old Joe left behind. And the other one said, I don't know. But I do know he sure sent a whole bunch on ahead. Wouldn't you like for that to be said of you? Wouldn't you like for people to walk away from your freshly covered grave and to know that you sent a whole lot on up ahead, that you laid up for yourselves treasures in heaven? You see, that's why we're here. That's why we praise God. That's why we worship God. That's why we beg for our forgiveness, as has been prayed about all day today, so that we can live with God forever. But there's one catch. And Jesus pointed it out in Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Mine an elegant translation, talk is cheap. The demons believe and tremble, pointed out, someone pointed that out this morning very effectively in class. The demons believe and tremble. Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter. Nobody has ever told in the Bible anywhere, I mentioned this morning, nobody has ever told in the Bible, pray this prayer in order to be a Christian. That's not there. They're not told. Here, call on the, just call him. Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Have you done his will? Have you done his will? My daddy led prayer at Thanksgiving. I've been hearing him pray for for 65 years. But for some reason, when he prayed this past Thursday, it hit a nerve, because he's in his mid-80s. And as always, he said, Lord, may we wear ourselves out in your service. I thought, yeah, Daddy, you've done that. You've been preaching since you were 16 years old. You've worn yourself out in his service. Now, I don't want to insinuate for 1 minute that my daddy, your daddy, any of us can earn our salvation. Wearing yourself out in God's service doesn't earn you salvation. But you wear yourself out in that service not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. And that's who's going to be in heaven. People that have worn themselves out in the service. So great, as I like to put it, great soldiers of the cross. Great soldiers of the cross. And that's why we want you to be in Christ. We want you to be prepared. just like Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you prepare for that by changing the way you think, repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And maybe you've done that. You're hurting. You're struggling. You've got sin in your life. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you tonight, right now. While we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.